Charlie Kirk is my guest, of course, the founder and president of TPUSA, Turning Point USA. I'm Dennis Prager, and I always take questions. I love that part. And I thought I would just talk to you for 15 minutes and then take 15, but we went over to 36 minutes.
And we were just getting warmed up.
I thought that was I was at the 20-minute mark. That's how much fun I was having.
Oh,
so
nice.
let's do the questions together. Anything? I'll answer some, and you add on if you have anything you want to add on. So Spencer, 22, Indianapolis, Indiana. I've heard several people say they're anti-Israel but not anti-Semitic. This seems nonsensical to me. How can I efficiently point out this discrepancy? So I wrote about this long, long time ago. In the first book I ever wrote, The Nine Questions People Ask About Judaism. And one of the questions is there a difference between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism? And so here is the very quick way to do it. What would you say to somebody who said, I love Italians, but I hate Italy? In fact, I am working to destroy Italy, which is what anti-Zionist means. Israel does not have a right to exist as an independent Jewish state. That's what anti-Zionism means. All right? So how could you say, it would be ludicrous, oh, I love Italian opera, I love pizza, I love Italian food, I love Italian music, I love Italians, but I hate Italy, and those who wish to destroy it are in the right. Okay? It's an absurdity. The only time this distinction is made is with regard to Israel. Anything you want to add?
No, I agree completely, and it's also a misunderstanding of how important Israel is to the Jewish faith. And you cannot possibly separate them.
That's right. There is a Jewish trinity just like there's a Christian trinity. Most people don't know this, and Jews don't use that terminology, but I know my Judaism. And Judaism consists of God, Torah, Israel. Those are the three components. You can't take one of them out and still have Judaism, just like you can't take the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit out of Christianity and still have normative Christianity. Is that fair?
Very fair. And there's an American Trinity, too.
Yes, that's my thing.
I know.
I'm proud of that one.
It's very good.
And
yes.
Say it.
Well, I believe it's...
Yes, it's on the coins. E pluribus unum, liberty and godly trust.
Yeah, that's
it. It is amazing how things come in trinities. It is a very interesting thing.
Yes.
So anyway, God, Torah, Israel. That is the Jewish trinity. You remove one, you don't have Judaism. Okay. So next, Amanda, 18, Colorado. What's the best way to dispute gun control arguments in two sentences or less? I'll let you take that one. I have my answer. Go ahead.
Two sentences or less. Criminals love gun control.
You're literal. You're really good. I was going to give more than two sentences.
So criminals love gun control. Gun-free zones are dangerous. How about that?
That is excellent. That is excellent.
That was very literal.
Here.
Right?
So maybe I could make this. Yes, it was literal. So here's what I was going to say. And maybe I could fit it in under two sentences. It'll be a long sentence.
With a semicolon?
However. Yes, with a semicolon and a colon.
And a dash.
And an M dash, exactly. So... if there were two schools, one said gun-free zone, one said many of the adults here carry weapons, where would a shooter go? That's it. That's my argument.
It's terrific.
Okay. Cooper, 16, in Higginsville, Missouri. Hi, Cooper. Do you think the reason America is so polarized is the lack of shared morals? If so, how can we fix that? Here are two fixers.
Totally.
it's appropriate question for us.
Without a doubt. I mean, and I think we're polarized because of the secularization of America, without a doubt.
Although there are secular conservatives who have some of our, but they don't realize it's not going to work. I make this point.
Of course, but where do the values come from?
Yes, of course. I mean, even in the Declaration of Independence, the inalienable rights come from the Creator. No Creator, no inalienable rights. It's so obvious. But anyway, yes, we're polarized because, of course, it's all a values issue. And I asked, what is Barone's first name?
Michael
Barone. I asked him on my show
very
today.
Very smart guy.
Very smart. That's why I have him on. I love the guy. And he's like a dean of American political observers. So I asked him, have we ever been, since the Civil War, have we ever been as divided as we are today? And he thought we had, which made me feel good in a certain sense, because I don't want to think it's uniquely awful since slavery. But I I didn't fully agree with his answer. I think this is the most divided we've ever been. The Gulf, listen, the New York Times in November, 2 weeks after Donald Trump was elected, the New York Times had a front page piece on the number of people not going for Thanksgiving or Christmas to their friends or relatives because they found out they voted for Donald mm-hmm. Trump. That I think is unprecedented.
The only other time I'd point to is the Vietnam civil rights era. That was a very...
Which I was your age at that time, and I...
So I can't speak for...
No, no, of course you could speak. If you have to... What are you kidding? We all speak... We have to speak about things we didn't live through, or we can't speak about anything.
Sure.
No, you have... You're totally right. But I don't remember if the parents were for the Vietnam War and the kid wasn't, he didn't go home for Thanksgiving. I don't remember that being the case. They may fight.
Sure.
But the rift, the hatred, see, there was a hatred of the war, but there wasn't a hatred of the people in your life who supported the war.
Sure.
I don't remember it that way. Let's put it this way. I think this, we're living in a very ruptured time. But listen, there were decent people. There were people who had a moral compass who were opposed to the war. There are people with a moral compass who were for the war.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a moral compass and be anti-Israel. You can't have a moral compass and be anti-American. You can't have a moral compass and tell me that there's no such thing as male and female.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to, that there are people who think that they are the other sex. That's beside the point. But there isn't male and female. This stuff is new.
Yes, that's very new. It's very postmodernist. That's correct.
Postmodern, yes. That's a sweet way. It's a philosophical way of putting it.
That's what the university...
By the way...
That's how they label garbage.
That's good.
Thank you.
That was good. I resonate to that. All right. Nick, 21, Albany, New York. How do you deal with... Oh, this is hilarious. How do you deal with liberal friends, family, or coworkers that suddenly hate you when they find out you're conservative?
It's a beautiful segue.
It's like we just anticipated him. So what would you say to him?
Well, I mean, and I always say this, when students ask all the time, they say, Charlie, why am I losing so many friends because I'm a conservative? And I always ask the question, and it's an important one, you didn't probably pick the fight with them. They picked the fight with you. You have no problem that they're a liberal.
That's right, exactly.
And so then it comes to the point that they really aren't your friends in the first place. The family's very tough. It's very tough.
Yes, yes.
And that can sow deep divides and rifts. And I've lived through it. I mean, where family members I've known my whole life think I'm subhuman. They think as if I have descended into something so below the relative moral compass they can't relate to.
I said during our talk, and I want to say this again, they have to believe that because leftism is not rooted in argument. It is not rooted in reason. So they must dismiss those who differ with them as evil.
That's exactly
right. Not wrong, evil.
They must ostracize because they cannot prove the opposition incorrect and they cannot cross-examine effectively. When there's a marketplace of ideas, the left always loses. Always.
That's right.
But when they have a monopoly, that's when they win. And so how do you create a monopoly? You shut the other side
up. By the way, you know how bad it's gotten? A friend of mine told me that his friend's son just got a BA in economics at New York University. And he asked his son, so what'd you think of Milton Friedman?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who is Milton Friedman?
Who won a Nobel Prize.
Yes, who won a Nobel Prize.
At University of Chicago for economics.
Yes, in economics. Forget Friedrich Hayek. Milton Friedman.
You know what that would be like? It'd be like going to University of North Carolina and saying, you know, do you like Michael Jordan? Who's Michael Jordan?
That's right. It would be like
that. It's that big of a deal at the University of Chicago.
That is correct.
When you have a Nobel Prize winning, he was there for 25 years at the University of Chicago.
Right.
It takes effort to suppress that.
Well, it does. But you can get a BA at UCLA, you can get a BA in English and not read one Shakespeare play.
Well, he was a white male.
That's right.
Who therefore exploited people.
And that's considered intellectual.
And he was heterosexual, too.
Oh, he had everything going against him.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Oof.
Well, I
heteronormative.
Well, but you know, so these campuses, they say, you know, oh, there's this transgender poet we're reading from. I said, I couldn't care less if it was transgender or not. Was it any good? I mean, that's what really matters.
Well, that's exactly right.
And on your show, Dennis, you confirm something for me I use all the time, where it shows here how the left cares. Here's the example of why the left cares about race and the right doesn't. Here's the example with the Supreme Court. This is one of the greatest Dennis Prager analogies. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Would a conservative take someone with a voting record like Clarence Thomas? Would you take 9 lesbians on the Supreme Court?
Black
lesbians on the Supreme Court if they all voted like Clarence Thomas?
Right.
We would say yes in a heartbeat.
Or white Christian liberals.
Yes. Right. But would the left take that?
Right.
No.
Right.
It's the greatest example.
We don't care about race.
We care about ideas
and
values and character.
But here is the amazing thing. This is why liberals are left. Are not, liberalism and leftism are two totally different things. Yes. Because the liberal said the idea matters, not the skin color. The left says skin color matters, not the idea.
And you see this. Great example. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went nuts on Twitter the other day for saying to CBS, you don't have a black reporter in your traveling pool for 2020. How about a good reporter? You don't have an honest one. It doesn't matter if they're all white, if they're all black, if they're all... How about an honest person? For her, she's a byproduct of the university. For her, the skin color means a lot more than the honesty.
What if I said...
Or the integrity.
What if I said... She comes from New York, right?
So and she went to Boston.
Said, you know, the Knicks, they don't seem to have a single Jew on the team. Think about that. You shouldn't laugh, Charlie. Now that I think of it, it is disturbing. How many Asians?
Just so you know how they respond to that.
How?
They say, well, you're trying to say black people aren't good at journalism? That's how they're trained to respond.
Are you saying Jews are not good at basketball?
They will say yes.
Oh, man. I have a guy in my own house saying Jews are not good at basketball.
I didn't say...
Me, Center Yeshiva Flatbush High School.
Do you understand that's how they're trained to respond? And so, but it's so one-dimensional.
Oh, I never heard that response. No, that's very fascinating.
Well, it's not fascinating. It's very...
No. It's an absurdity.
It's very elementary.
Is there one conservative who thinks that a black is not capable of being brilliant? Is Clarence Thomas not brilliant? Is Thomas Sowell not brilliant? Is Larry Elder not brilliant?
Dr. Ben Carson, Condoleezza Rice?
No, please, give me a break. Here's what's not brilliant. Black leftists are not brilliant. And they're the only ones you know. And how many students know Tom Sowell? One of the genius minds of the last generation. He's black, but he's black conservative.
Or how about Walter Williams?
Oh, of course.
Or Shelby Steele, or any of these
any of the Larry Elder,
Jason Riley
is Jason Riley. Candace Owens is as gifted as you. She is special.
She's a talent. She's a gift to the movement. And the left doesn't want to recognize her because the left believes you lose your blackness as soon as you become a conservative.
Which is an amazing thing.
Well, no, it's actually
how do you lose it?
It's quite a racist thing.
No,
actually.
Of course it is. Yes.
And that's why Clarence Thomas is not in the African American History Museum.
Oh, is that amazing?
It's
to tell everybody.
So the African American History Museum, which is actually a very nice
museum.
Yes,
in Washington, D.C.
It's located right near the National Mall.
Yep.
It put a lot of effort into it. Clarence Thomas is not in there, who, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, was the second African American ever to serve on the Supreme Court.
Right.
I could be wrong. I think Thurgood Marshall was first.
And his decisions are brilliant.
Well, but they're conservative, therefore they cannot be talked about.
Right.
And never forget what the left made him go through. What they made him go through was
like
almost,
Brett Kavanaugh.
Almost worse in some ways. Almost worse. Because the Kavanaugh thing was short. With Anita Hill, it went on for almost months.
Right.
And Joe Biden, Ted Kennedy, the supposed heroes of the civil rights movement, found that no problem at all for going after
Meanwhile,
a black conservative.
Meanwhile, if we go after a black liberal, it's racist.
That's correct.
Every attack on Barack Obama was called racist.
That's right. That's exactly
so
right.
So it insulated him.
Right. And so they're going to try to go back to that playbook into the next election.
Right.
Because identity politics is so corrosive to a free society. It really is.
That's correct. Where are you speaking next? You have colleges lined up?
Yeah, we have a whole college tour coming up.
Yeah, good.
By the way,
I love the stuff you arrange. I love talking at college campuses.
Well, we're going to be doing more of it.
Yeah, so. it's...
There is
You know
optimism.
What I did at Berkeley, by the way?
You just had all the people come up on stage.
Well, yeah. No, I debated two left-wing students instead of giving a speech. People should watch that.
It's very good.
It was just to elucidate differences and prevent protests.
Well, right, but it was
because I wanted to be heard.
It was extremely illustrative of how shallow the left is in their arguments.
Look, they were nice kids. I just want to make it clear. I have nothing against them. They were nice. They were respectful.
Well, and here's one thing I know you're on too, because I listen to your show. Is that we really should start a national campaign for two big things. I did my two PragerU videos. Number one, not everybody needs to go to college.
And
if you are going to college, please take a gap year. Just please do that. Get in the real world.
I have been advocating that my whole life.
It's so important.
Why go right from high school to college? You're probably going to live to 100. So whether you graduate college at 21 or 22 or 22 or 23, doesn't matter.
And you'll do a lot more for your character development.
For everything, to learn the world. You're a kid at 18 out of high school.
That's exactly
right. Why would you want to spend your whole life in school?
Well, and
it's such an unbroadening experience.
And the university turns you into an infant. It does the reverse.
Right.
It does the reverse of actually the maturation
process. The difference
process.
Between college and kindergarten is the age of the student.
That's exactly right.
That's the way
well,
I put
it. Well, in kindergarten, though, there's an expectation that you're more mature at the end of the process than at the beginning.
That's true.
In college, it's the exact opposite.
Yes, that is correct.
They exit less mature than when they begin. The second thing, Dennis, and we're going to do a joint partnership on this, is getting people, conservatives, to never give another dime to their alma mater. You have a moral obligation to divest your dollars from universities.
I have said on the radio, knowing that it's out there and will get quoted, it is better for America if you flush that money down the toilet than give it to a college.
Well, at least it's not doing harm.
That's right. By the way, there were some, I know, like Hillsdale and some Christian colleges.
Very few. It's the minority.
Yes, but I'm talking about 99% of the cases.
Yes.
Well, this was fun. This was the extracurricular
this was overtime.
Q&A period. So again, from my home, I'm Dennis Prager. This is Charlie Kirk. We'll surely do it again. Thanks for watching. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.